Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last 25 minutes of the program today. Today's Issues is the name of this show here on American Family Radio. If you want to watch on the internet, we have Facebook Live. We've live video streamed the show there, and we post the stories that we discuss there, so you can have access to the information from which we comment on. I don't know if that was the correct sentence or not. But in the meantime, while you're trying to figure out whether it's a correct sentence or not, I shall move on to the next place where you can find our live video stream, and that's our own streaming service, streaming.afa.net. Not screaming. Streaming.afa.net. Most of all our shows there, we live video stream, and we own it, so we're not going to cancel ourselves. I don't think. We're not going to cancel ourselves. YouTube canceled us a few months back. We've talked about that. We don't know why exactly. We violated their liberal policies of, we don't know what. Ed said ivermectin too many times or something. I don't know. Who knows? But we don't need them. It'd be nice to be on YouTube, but we don't need them. We've got our own streaming service, streaming.afa.net. And Facebook Live. Facebook's been, you know, Mark Zuckerberg loves us. He's been good to us. He hadn't censored us. Has he ever censored us? Do you remember we ever been in Facebook timeout?
We've never been banned from them, no sir.
Yeah,
no sir.
Yeah, I think what YouTube did. Our harassment from YouTube came last summer, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they had a summer intern from Harvard. Harvard, probably, and they were assigned to listen to American Family Radio and find stuff and ways to ban us.
Banned one day, unbanned the next.
Yes. We were.
Mm-hmm.
We were banned, unbanned, and finally we banned three times. It was three times you strike out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So anyway, I wonder if you applied, Brent. Brent's our producer. I wonder if you applied. Now, we won't say anything about this. It's just to ourselves. If you applied to YouTube, see if we get back on.
Okay.
You want to try that?
Yeah, we can try that.
Just try it and come back and tell us what they said.
Okay.
See if we can sneak through.
Huh? Yeah. You were permanently banned, but now we'll let you through.
Well, if that summer intern went back to Harvard, no longer tracking us, we might get back on there.
May not be a record there.
You know, if Bill's there on the job that day, he doesn't care. What does he care? Well, you want back on? Yeah, I'll put you back on.
There you go.
So try it. Try it. All right. And you can describe us if you want to as a... Well, no, I won't say that. That would be deceptive. I was going to say, put us down as a... No, I'm not going to say that. Let's move on. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, and Steve Jordahl's in studio. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning. Can I update our listeners on something that we talked about when you guys were gone?
Sure.
This is... I know that many people in our audience are probably just hanging on pins and needles about this, and... Fred, you might have been.
Can you hang on pins and needles?
You can. And Ray wasn't here either, but I've been having some problems with my knee, as you know, and I've been limping around. So I was doing some research.
Yeah.
I brought in and started.
Ivermectin, Steve.
No, I actually.
Take you some ivermectin.
Yeah.
That knee will be healed, brother.
Well, actually, I was trying to determine. I started with Reese's peanut butter cups to see if it was the peanut butter or the chocolate that was going to do better. Neither one of them really worked. Then I went on to muffins or cupcakes.
Uh-huh.
That didn't seem to work. I tried popcorn. Yeah. That didn't seem to work. But now my knee is feeling better, and it was strawberry shortcake.
Well,
so now I am having three servings of strawberry shortcake every day so that my knee doesn't go back. And I know our listeners are curious about how that ended up. We talked about it on Monday and Tuesday. I just wanted to update everybody.
Okay. Well, the downside of that, Steve, you're probably going to clog up your knee artery there. You stay heavy on you stay heavy on the sweets. You gonna
and here's the illogical part. I'm gonna gain a lot of weight, which is gonna put a whole lot more weight on that knee. So
duly noted.
It's really gonna test that theory.
Less than
all right. I've done that. Thank you, everybody. You can stop worrying.
By the way, Steve, you shared yesterday about your experience with the tornado.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Yeah.
And in Amory, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Which is where you live. And Steve, did anybody – I know there were a lot of people, I say a lot, two dozen people, I think, who died in Rolling Fork, Mississippi.
Couple in Wren.
Which is a smart – that's what I'm asking. Yeah. In Monroe County, Mississippi, where Amory is, how many people pass away?
Is Wren in Monroe?
Yes, uh-huh.
Wren, two people passed away in Wren. Nobody passed away in Amory or Smithville. By God's grace.
We had – one of our staff here, Dr. Ray Rooney, serves as a bivocational pastor.
Yeah.
And his church was knocked down.
There's a lot of people that are hurting.
In Wren, Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tiny little town.
But
anyway, okay. Well, what do you got first for us, Steve?
Well, let's talk about our president and being able to read a room. So you guys have been talking about this horrific shooting in Nashville that happened yesterday. And President Biden was scheduled to talk to a gathering of women who are part of the Small Business Administration. And
they were visiting the White House.
Visiting the White House. They were in the East Room gathered. And the president came over to make some remarks. Now, this was pretty much any time he's making remarks to anybody about anything, some media is going to cover it. But because of the shooting, everybody expected, as a president needs to do, to address this shooting. What's he going to say about it? And so everybody was tuned in to see what he was going to say about the Nashville shooting. So he walks in the room and walks up to the podium. And instead of talking launching into, we've had a national tragedy today, I just want to give my condolences to the people and then probably say something about gun control, he started the gathering on national television like this, cut four.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs.
And then he went on even for a little longer.
Well, that was an inappropriate response by a president to listen. If he wanted to say, I need to, before I talk to you here at the White House, I need to say this to the American people. We've witnessed a great tragedy this morning in Nashville. Our hearts out to the community, and we don't know exactly all the facts yet, but and then if he wanted to talk to the group, you know, and be lighthearted, sure. Yeah, but Ray, I just thought that was
Harris Faulkner of Fox News cut away. She was appalled and couldn't do it anymore. So Fox News cut away during this segment. I don't know about the other network.
Ray, any thoughts on that?
He was completely tone deaf, as you said, Steve. There ought to be the gift. A leader ought to know how to read the room. When there has been a horrific event like what happened in Nashville, who cares about the chocolate chip ice cream?
Right.
And you know, let the record show. I don't have any problem with the president making jokes about things at the appropriate time. Right. All of them do. President Reagan was great about that, but all of them are. It's fine to make a joke about chocolate chip ice cream, but not as the setup to saying something about what happened in Nashville.
Yeah.
Just completely tone deaf.
I think it only fits into the pervading, if you want to call it a narrative, about President Biden being too old and borderline senile, and therefore he's. And this is an example of a guy who's well past his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about what I just said?
I think
senile. Is that what does senile mean definitively?
Well, mental capacity being questioned, and we've talked about that a lot.
I mean, he hadn't completely lost his mind where he can't talk and communicate and walk around and think and carry on a conversation. I'm just saying he's in decline, and it's obvious.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, obviously he was told upstairs before he went downstairs for this event of what had happened in Nashville. Three kids dead, three adults killed in this incident. But he goes down, he jokes about the ice cream. But here's the other thing that's, and I'm speculating here because I'm not in the mind of Joe Biden, but I think he is a disciple of his former boss, Barack Obama, who basically said, never let a tragedy go to waste.
That was Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel, yeah.
Who was on the staff, the Obama staff, White House. Obama. Yeah.
So, what I think was on Joe Biden's priority at that moment was not so much about the shooting, but I'm going to use this shooting again to bang the drum about gun control, which is exactly what he did. Exactly what he did just a few
right
minutes
off the bat,
after.
Right?
Yeah. He went right into gun control. We have to do something about guns. And they did the same thing in the Senate. The Democrats in the Senate, short time later, were banging the drum about gun control. That's all they do.
You know what I've noticed, too? The gun control, the promotion of gun control, I call it gun confiscation, that getting rid of the Second Amendment, basically, is what a lot of these lefties and Democrats want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when a police shoots somebody, for whatever reason, these same people don't say it was the gun.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice this?
Yes.
No, it was the person, they say.
Mm-hmm.
It was the police officer who unjustly shot someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go, well, which is it?
Yeah.
Is it the gun or is it the individual? Because if it's the individual, it doesn't matter whether it's the guy or woman has on a police uniform, or is a civilian. If it's the guns doing, but if it's the person making a choice, then you have to go. You have to say it's the person making the choice to go out and commit crimes using mm-hmm. a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Rainey, any thoughts on this?
You know, if you look back to what happened yesterday, this was a planned event. You can say, yeah, gun. Yeah, but that woman, Audrey Hale, I think her name is.
Yes.
She knew what she was doing. She thought about
right.
it. She planned. She did surveillance. She even considered another school, but it
right.
had, quote, too much security. You can't just glibly say it's guns that did this. No, it's a person with a kind of mental illness and a spiritual darkness who planned it and who pulled it out, and they are dead people as a result. We ought to put the blame in the right place.
I think, Steve, this is not novel with me. There's something about, quote, progressives or liberals. They don't want to hold the criminal personally responsible for their actions.
Look at the worldview of the secular people. The worldview of secular people, oddly, is that we're good people. People are good. Basically, all good all day long, and all of the ill that happens with people is because of the culture that we put them in, or the circumstances that they're in, or that someone called them names, or that they are, they have a problem with their sex. All of this is coming from they're good people, and it's the surrounding culture and influences that make them do bad things. The Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, is that we're sinners at heart. And we need redemption. So if you have the worldview that the people are good, then banning guns kind of makes sense, because that's the world around outside influence that you're trying to keep away. If you have the biblical worldview, Ray, you probably correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have the biblical worldview that we're sinners at heart, we need a redemption, then the guns are peripheral to the fact that we need to address the sin that's in the heart of these people and the sin that's making them do this, which is why we're calling for looking at the root causes of mental illness, or what are we doing? What's in the heart of people? Am I on to some wrong, Ray? Or?
Well, no. That, what you said, Steve, is a beautiful picture of what the Bible actually presents, that there is sin let loose inside every human heart. Look, it's not as if we're saying that person is a sinner, but we are not. No, we're all in the same boat. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none that does good, no, not one. And there's not going to be any hope as long as we, there's not going to be any hope for change as long as we blame the instrument for what happened rather than the person who actually pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. The, I think the, another reason the left, the political left would like to basically end the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
If they could. I heard somebody talking the other day, I think it was Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, saying, you know, if, I think it was him, saying that if the Second Amendment, or the First Amendment for that matter, were being put up for a vote today, Democrats would vote against it.
Brent Weingarten, the president of the Teachers Union, is calling specifically for the repeal of the Second Amendment today.
Okay, well, they're out. Then they're... they're open about it.
And a total gun on private gun ownership. A ban, I'm sorry.
Right. Listen, we have 330 million people in this country, and probably double that amount of guns or more.
Yes.
And so you're not going to confiscate all people's guns, even if you wanted to. And the reason people, our founding fathers, created the Second Amendment was so the American citizenry could, if it came to it, protect themselves against a tyrannical government.
Yeah.
Because we had seen what, you know, King George did. So the Second Amendment, and if you think about it, of all the millions of guns we have and gun owners, it isn't the law-abiding gun owners that are committing the crimes with guns.
No.
It's people who are mentally unstable, or they're driven by hatred of for somebody or some reason, all the way from domestic violence to, you know, killing people because of their skin color or whatever the case may be. So you, and you have your, or you have your, just your, I don't mean to be funny, garden variety muggings and robberies that go on in big cities, primarily all over America every day, using guns. Those people are not going to be deterred by gun confiscation, if that's what it came to.
I heard this fact on Abe's show last night. I haven't researched it myself, but I trust what he says, which is the ratio of people in America to guns in America has not changed since our nation's founding. It's been roughly twice as many guns as people in this country throughout. So we weren't having mass shootings in the 1800s or in the 1920s or
no.
Whatever. It's something has happened to our society, to people that have changed their heart, that now they're using this tactic. We don't have a whole lot more guns around. It's not that we've got an influx of guns. That's not the problem.
Also, when you, as I said, 330 million people in America, when you have a free and open society, sadly, you're going to have a percentage of that 330 million that are going to do terrible actions. Yep. And I mean, that's just statistically true.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't make hasty. Well, they can too. What's her name? The teachers union?
Randy Weingarten.
What did she say?
We need to get rid of the Second Amendment, repeal the Second Amendment, and ban gun ownership.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. So, but they want to do it.
Yes.
And Biden, what Biden is trying to do, and many of the Democrats, they're trying to do everything but strip the Second Amendment.
Right.
In other words, if you hear a lot of these left wingers, they say you don't need a so-and-so gun for hunting. As if hunting is the primary reason for the existence of the Second Amendment. You notice how they do this?
Sure.
So, all right, next story.
All right. You remember several weeks ago, Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger were in front of a House committee, and they were testifying about the Twitter files.
Yeah, Let me set the background for that real quickly for our folks, and then you can go with it, because a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, depending on what day you check it, he is not a conservative. He is a libertarian. He saw what was going on with Twitter, and he bought it. Mm-hmm. So he bought Twitter because he saw it as going totally left-wing, and he says it needs to be an open market for ideas. So he buys Twitter. Then he discovers all the shenanigans that was going on with Twitter employees censoring conservatives, especially during COVID.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So he invites this gentleman.
The reporter.
An independent reporter, not a conservative. Liberal. He's more liberal than he is.
Yeah.
To investigate internally, kind of like do an audit.
Right.
So what's the gentleman's name?
Matt Taibbi.
So he's the one that did the discovery and wrote all these articles about how that Twitter was in collusion with the FBI, with Fauci and all these. So that's the backdrop to
right.
what you're going to talk about.
Well, and so on the day that he was the Republican House Committee now is saying we want to find out what's really going on. So they asked Matt Taibbi and the other reporter, Michael Schellenberger, to appear before them. We find out now that on the very day that Matt Taibbi was testifying before Congress, back at his home, the IRS sent an agent to visit him. The IRS shows up at Matt Taibbi's home.
Never heard of an IRS showing up at somebody's home.
Well, they got 350 million new employees. They got to have something to do.
350
well,
million.
How many did they? I don't,
that's a, so they're going to double the population of America with IRS
no,
agents?
No, they hired a ton more agents.
I think your numbers are a little off. There.
I think it was 80,000.
I'm speaking evangelistically.
But anyway, a whole bunch of them.
And they got to have something to do.
But seriously, that's you know, we're laughing about it. That is, if that's true.
That's the weaponization of.
Yeah, somebody told the FBI agent, hey, go over there and shake this guy up because he's testifying against Biden or Fauci or.
Well, the IRS was somewhat mentioned in these Twitter files as well.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, well, somebody at the IRS says, we'll send an agent over to his house. That'll intimidate him. Maybe he'll change his testimony when he goes before the Republicans.
That sounds like something out of communist China or.
Yes.
Russia.
Yes, it does.
That stuff's going around.
Yes.
All right. We got 1 minute left.
All right, let's end here. Kudos to the Amazon delivery guy in North Carolina. Cary, North Carolina, police were having a standoff, actually, with somebody who was in a house and was holding the police off with a gun, and they were surrounded, cop cars surrounding. A FedEx truck pulls up, and the FedEx driver gets out of the truck with a package and walks straight through the cop cars, straight through the whole stand-up to a house on the other side to try to deliver a package, as if nothing was going on.
Was he looking down at his phone?
I don't know what he was doing, but he just walked. He was looking around, but the police stopped him and grabbed the package for him and sent him back. But this guy, talk about neither rain nor sleet nor dark of night, man.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
Brett, appreciate your contributions. Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer. Ed wasn't here today, people, so you can't blame him for anything. Okay? Well, can't we all just get along?
That's right.
All right. Have a good afternoon, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.